Just want to read four scriptures, but they're very short. Mark's Gospel, in chapter 10, and the end of chapter 10, verse 51. And Jesus answering says to him, "What wilt thou that I shall do to thee?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, thy faith has healed thee." And he saw immediately and followed him in the way. And then John's Gospel, chapter 4. John 4 and verse 17. The woman answered and said, "I have not a husband." Jesus says to her, "Thou hast well said, I have not a husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now thou hast is not thy husband. This thou hast spoken truly." The woman says to him, "Sir, I see that thou art a prophet." And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, we'll read from verse 43. Luke 8 and chapter 8 and verse 43. And a woman who had a flux of blood since 12 years, who, having spent all her living on physicians, could not be cured by anyone, coming up behind him, touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flux of blood stopped. And verse 47, and the woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling and falling down before him, declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, "Be of good courage, daughter, thy faith has healed thee, go in peace." And then just finally, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, very well-known scripture, John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me." I've read of three different people who had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. My sincere desire tonight is that you may have an encounter with him as well. That is why the gospel is preached, not so that you may just admire what is being said and go home, but that your lives might be changed as you have a living encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The three that I've read here, I think it just struck me, relate to John 14. The first one, he found Jesus as the way. The second one, the woman found Jesus as the truth. And the third one, whose life was ebbing away, she found Jesus as the life. It's a wonderful statement here in John 14. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What is involved, what is compressed into that single sentence is so vast. What it is saying, essentially, is in everything is in him. But I just wanted briefly to go through these three encounters. The first one in Mark's Gospel. We know the story of Bartimaeus. And he was blind. It doesn't say from birth. I'm not sure if another account says that. But he was blind. You know, as a sinner, without the light of God coming into your soul, you are blind. And we live in a world, dear friend, of darkness. And that world is getting darker. I was going to say hourly. Some of the things that are being said and done, some of the ideologies coming in, it's a darkness that you can feel. But in God's grace, the light of the gospel is still shining. And it's shining in Tarring Road tonight, not because of me, but because of this, which is the word of God. And the one who says, "I am the way," the truth, and the life. This blind person, you know, I love the story. He cried out. He said, O Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. What a wonderful example that is of someone who felt their need. Some of us were saying in a Bible reading today that the church in general has grown rich. It has no need. It feels it has everything. But actually, the comment is that they're naked and blind. They have nothing. I used to get told off by my children for repeating the hymn, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. That is so true, dear friend, tonight. You don't require to do any great thing to be saved. What you need to do is to feel your need. And you know, there's millions out there in the world who are needy, and yet they can't admit it, or they won't admit it. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Tonight, dear friend, have you ever felt a need to be saved, a need to have your eyes opened? People are groping in the dark, you know. So much confusion, so many opinions. This man, he cried out. And you know, dear friend, no one has ever cried to Jesus and it's fallen on deaf ears. No one. And this man cried out from his heart. And Jesus heard him. And he was healed instantly. He knew what he needed. Tonight, dear friend, do you know what you need? If you don't, I suggest you get on your knees and ask. He knew what his need was. It was evident. He wanted to see. Oh, would that be there would be people tonight in Worthing that want to see. Jesus, you know, his mercy and grace. What a merciful and gracious Saviour he is. He healed him straight away, didn't he? There was no interim period. There was no waiting. You know, you come to Jesus as you are, feeling your need of him, and he will save you. He'll heal you, make you whole. But it's interesting what it says at the end of the story. He followed him in the way. I am the way. He followed him in the way. You know, people are all at sea, aren't they? People just don't know what to do. The government doesn't know what to do. The scientists don't know what to do. There is utter confusion. But right through it all, there is a way, you know. There is a way, and the way is Jesus. He is the answer. He is the answer to every problem. The world doesn't know it. They're looking for a man that will put everything right. I heard a comment that the Pope said the other day, what we need is a one world government. Just think of that, just how things are going. But they're looking for the wrong man. But this man, who's blessed Son of God, is the one that can be trusted. And he's worth following. And that's, you see, why the gospel is preached, not, as I said just now, as a picture on a wall that you might admire. How many do that, you know? They come in, they hear the gospel. Oh, yes, that sounds brilliant. That sounds lovely. And then they go home and forget about it. But here, he didn't forget, did he? He followed him in the way. You know, those early Christians, we can read about in Acts. It says of them, they were of the way. They were identified as following Jesus. I wonder tonight, dear friend, whether you are in the way. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, the natural man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But if you meet Jesus, if he's touched you, if he's had to do with you, you're changed. This man was changed completely. No one can come to Jesus and remain unaffected, dear friend. He came to the Saviour. He was healed. He was given his sight. And he followed him in the way. Dear friends, what a call that is. We're called to follow him. I love that. You think of the appeal of Jesus right at the beginning of the Gospels. There was Matthew, a tax gatherer. He was steeped in the things of this world. Money, which is the root of all evil. And yet it says of him that he saw Jesus and he left all and rose up. Not that he rose up and left all, but he left all before he rose up. Such was the power of attraction of Jesus. I wonder tonight, dear friend, have you seen the Saviour? Have you cried out to him? Have you cried out to him in your need? Admit you need have a need. Admit you're a sinner. You know, man is so full of pride. There's some little bit of good in me. I have to tell you faithfully from the scriptures tonight, there's no good in you. There's no good in you whatsoever. The heart is desperately wicked, incurable. Science thinks it can cure this, that and the other. There's one thing that cannot be cured, and that is the heart of man, apart from the grace of God and the renewing power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus. But this man, I'll just leave it with you, he had an encounter with the Saviour. He was changed forever, and he followed him in the way. Dear friend, tonight, if you put your trust in Jesus, and I trust you have, if you see what he's done for you, he died on the cross, he shed his precious blood to save you. Isn't he worth following? Isn't he worth committing your life to? No one else matters. You can't trust anything else. I think if this current crisis brings anything home is that nothing can be trusted. Nothing at all. Apart from this glorious one. He is the way, the truth and the life. Bartimaeus followed him in the way. May you tonight, if never before, have an encounter with Jesus. And as a result, may you follow him in the way. I'll just refer to John chapter 4. We know this woman's story very well. She met Jesus, didn't she? She had an encounter with him, but she was exposed. I said previously that we just need to admit our need. But you know, sometimes we're so confused we don't know what our need is. And we cover things up, don't we? Jesus exposed her here. But in the grace and mercy of God, she realized that was a good thing. In fact, at the end of the story, she says, "Come see a man who told me all things I ever did." She was willing to be exposed because she realized that Jesus knew everything anyway. But in spite of that, he was able to forgive and to bring in healing and peace. What a saviour. But she realized, I think what it struck me is that he knew the truth. He was a man of truth. He could be trusted. He knew what was right. She says, I see that thou art a prophet. Well, of course, well, that was correct. But of course, he was far more than that, wasn't he? He was a prophet, a priest, and a king. Blessed Saviour. But you know, she realized who he was, that there was someone different, you know, someone different that was different from every other man. And I suppose this woman knew something about men, didn't she? Let's face it. But she'd never met anyone like Jesus. Never. Because there was someone who was true. And knew the truth and spoke it. He said, "I'm altogether that which I say unto you." No one else could say that. No one would have the audacity to say such a thing. And yet here's someone who could say, "I'm altogether that which I say unto you." Blessed Saviour. She had an encounter with him. She realised that he was the truth. We live in a world, you know, where deception and lies or only every hand. You cannot trust anything, but you can trust Jesus. You can trust God. This woman, you know, is a trophy of God's grace. We often say, don't we, that Jesus, although he was so wearied with his journeyings, he was if I can speak commonly, and I don't mean irreverently, his schedule was so full. Think of every minute of every day. And yet it says at the beginning, he must needs pass through Samaria. He went for that particular woman to have that particular encounter at that particular well. Tonight, dear friend, Jesus may be having to do with you. It may be challenging you. He says, I know all about you. I know about every sin. But in spite of that, that's the blessed news of the gospel, dear friend, that in spite and despite all you've ever done, God loves you and is willing to forgive you, to give you peace with God. That's what the gospel is all about. It's having forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. God would love to do that, to give it to you. You know, God is a wonderfully giving God, isn't he? He gives the water. Jesus here says, I've got water to give you. Fountain of living, of water which springs up into eternal life. You know, how contrary that is. We live in a world where everything is for now and it runs out and you're dissatisfied. If you have to do with Jesus, he will give you the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. And you realize that you have a source of life and peace and joy that can't be diminished, that doesn't run out. You know, the Christian, the believer in Jesus, despite all the circumstances, he should be triumphing because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He should be full of peace and joy. There shouldn't be any sad or depressed or fearful Christians. You know, men today are full of fear. Part of devil's strategy, I believe, is to produce fear. There's coming a day when the man of sin will appear and they will submit to him out of fear. Before that day comes, I've got some other news for you, that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming very soon. But meanwhile, you have the opportunity of having to do with Jesus. This woman, she was just going to the well, just like any other day. And then suddenly, out of the blue, she has an encounter with someone who is unlike anyone else she's ever met. And she's so changed, she's so enthralled with the Saviour, that she goes and tells others. What a result. The whole city came out to Jesus and they saw for themselves. This is what we require, desire in the glad tidings, that you should see for yourself. Don't rely on the faith of others. Get the blessing for yourself. Dear friend, may you have an encounter with Jesus and find in him the truth. He is the truth. The devil, you know, is the author of lies. Right from the beginning, it says the devil is a liar. He lied at the very start. And I'm afraid to say that we're all liars. Part of the sinful nature. The world in which we live in is marked by deception and lies. Jesus is the truth. Blessed man, can be relied upon. She found him to be that. I'll just pass on to the third encounter. In Luke, this woman, you know, I know, it's again a story we know well. Her life was ebbing away. She'd tried everything, hadn't she? She'd gone to everything that might help, and it was useless. And then she hears about the Saviour. She's determined to get a blessing, isn't she? You know, if you wish to get blessing tonight, nothing will be able to stop you. She only had to touch the hem of his garment. That's all she had to do. She was healed. Where there was death coming in, where life was ebbing away, here was the one who is the life, the life. She touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. He knew it. Won't go into the whole story. But he knew, the Lord Jesus knew. And you know, it's a wonderful, the transaction. The woman had a transaction with Jesus. He felt it, she knew it. Tonight, dear friend, if you want blessing, if you want to be healed, if you want to have life tonight, if you want to have life, come to Jesus. People are fearful. As I say, this pandemic, people are fearful. But there's no need to fear, because I present to you one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. There's no need to fear. Fear not. One of the hallmarks of the gospel is fear not. And the glad tidings is preached that you might find peace and joy and life. She has a word from the Lord. She came out of hiding, as it were. It's wonderful, the power, isn't there, is with the Lord Jesus. It says in verse 47, and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, be of good courage, daughter, thy faith has healed thee. Interesting that, isn't it? She touched, you might say in faith, the hem of his garment. Just a touch. You may not understand very much tonight, but you know someone who can heal you. That's wonderful. You know where to go. Many millions of people tonight, dear friend, they're so down, they're so depressed, they don't know where to go. Thank God the gospel is still going out tonight, and we point to the Saviour of sinners. She touched the hem of his garment, but he says, it's thy faith that has healed thee. And we often say, don't we, that it's not a amount of our faith, it's in whom the faith is. It's in him. You may not understand much tonight, dear friend, but if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be healed. That's the simple message of the gospel. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who is that, and yet the remarkable story of the gospel is that blessed one. He went to Calvary's cross. The one who had life in himself. Said this many times, but we're given life. It says, man breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. Not so with Jesus. He had life in himself, and yet he gave that life up. Gave it up voluntarily. Yes, God ordained it. Men in their wickedness arranged it. But Jesus, you know, if you read the account in the Gospels, he was in full control. He committed his spirit into the hand of the Father. Jesus voluntarily and willingly died for you and for me. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How can that not affect you, dear friend? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. His precious blood was shed, all part of the requirements of God, read in the Old Testament. Blood was required as a sacrifice. We spread about life. It says life was in the blood. And the blood was spilled, the blood was shed as a witness that death had taken place. And God was satisfied. And then the third day, Jesus rose. Jesus rose from the grave. There would be no point preaching here tonight, would it, if Jesus was still in the grave? We preach, dear friend, tonight, a living Saviour. A risen Saviour who's soon coming. As I said, the world is gearing up, I truly believe, to receive the wrong man who will deceive everyone, who will require total submission. It's all in there in Revelation. But before he comes, and we used to say when I was a lad, the stage is being set for the end. I think the curtain is just about to go up. But before that man is revealed, and I believe he's waiting in the wings, before that man is revealed, something else is going to happen. Millions of people are going to disappear from this earth. Oh, the media is going to have a field day. But Jesus is coming to reclaim his church, everyone that belongs to him. And I believe it's very soon. Very soon. I don't know how many times I've sat in the audience and the preacher has said, this could be the last gospel preaching. Well, actually, right now, this is the last gospel preaching for a few weeks. In the wisdom of the government. But it could be the last gospel preaching anyway. So I would urge you, I would beg you, to have to do with this glorious Saviour. The one who was had these encounters with these three people. Is the same one who's now in glory. And soon coming again. But he can have a transaction with you. He can forgive you your sin. He can give you peace and joy and a hope. Christians of all people should be full of hope because Jesus is coming soon. We long too for the day when he returns publicly. As I said, the world is crying out for a man. They're crying out for the wrong man. The Jews, his own people, are crying out for the wrong man, actually. Then Jesus will come. They will look upon him whom they have pierced. They will realise that all the way along that was their Messiah. But tonight, dear friend, you in this wonderful age, this dispensation, this age of grace, the appeal goes out to you and to me that we may have to do with this glorious Saviour now while it is still the day of grace, the day of salvation. The other day I was up in Ipswich and we saw this ark. It's a half-sized replica. I didn't realise it was there. The ark, Noah's ark. Massive thing. And it reminded me there was a door. What does it say in Genesis? They all went in and Jehovah shut the door. Not man's timing, God's. Tonight, dear friend, we don't know when that door of mercy will be closed. Those that were inside were safe. The judgment was coming, and oh, surely the judgment is coming. But tonight, you have the opportunity of going through the door of mercy, running to the Saviour and being saved. May you then, like these three people, know Jesus as the way, the truth and the life, for his name's sake. Amen.